All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. I just have some more thoughts along the lines of Ephesians chapter 6. And of course, just to let you know what precipitated these thoughts, I know everybody's watching the news and what's going on in the world. And, you know, sure, that's fine. It would be really easy to just pretend it's not all happening, what's going on. But I don't know about you, but it seems like every day, and I'm not a news hound by any means, but I you know, listen to some of the things that are going on. But it seems like every day there seems to be, thanks, Sean, there seems to be more, it's like another thing. You know, I know the news people are making a big deal out of that, too. It's like there's just one thing piled on top of another thing on top of another thing, and there is so many... That's close. Thank you. Will it work? And so it just got me thinking about the body of Christ and where are we at, and are we as a body of believers, the church, is the church ready for the things that are coming? And when I quit working my secular job back a couple months ago, part of what I did that for is I believe I heard God say that I was supposed to be back full-time in the pulpit again just to help people get ready. And I don't think I fully understood what that meant and probably still don't fully understand what that means. But, you know, we don't always see everything. We don't always see the whole explanation or get full understanding on things. But I do think the body of Christ needs to be ready for some of the things that may be coming on the earth. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gave some specific things that would be going on in the world before his second return. And he said that when we started to see those things happen, he said this was the beginning of sorrows. And I think that we're on the cusp of that time. You know, we're so blessed here. We're so blessed, this generation of people, except maybe for my mother's generation, we have really experienced, as a nation, as a people, we've experienced relative peace and prosperity. You know, we've seen some golden times. We really have. We've been really, really blessed to experience. We've never experienced the things that our parents might or our grandparents might have experienced as far as war. We haven't had, we haven't experienced food rationing or fuel rationing. We haven't had enemies' boots on our soil. Like, we haven't been oppressed by another nation. We haven't experienced any of those things. So what can happen when you experience year after year of prosperity and peace like that is you get into a certain state of mind that it could never happen. And I just was recently listening to a message by Brother Jim Richards, and he says there's a name for that, actually. It's called a normalcy bias. And you can look it up on Wikipedia. A normalcy bias is when we want to close our eyes and we don't want to even consider that something bad could happen. And consequently, what happens when you have a normalcy bias mentality, you think everything's just going to continue the way it is. You don't prepare for anything. Now, I'm not talking about stockpiling food or ammunition or any of that kind of thing. I'm talking about being ready spiritually, being established and being certain of our position in God, and that we have peace with God, and that we have a solid trust in God. But this normalcy bias, you know, we saw it happen as recent as September 11th in 2001. People in this country were totally unprepared for an attack of that kind. Consequently, because we as a nation and a people were not prepared, we were operating in that normalcy bias, even our government was, it cost 3,000 plus lives and over $10 billion worth of damage to property and infrastructure. And, I mean, we're still just recovering from that. Some people will never recover. They lost loved ones. I mean, children lost parents, things like that. But it's like, because this thing has never happened, it could never happen, is what happens with this type of thinking. Now, either we can respond properly when we see things on the horizon. We see what's going on in the Middle East. That's, Jesus told us to watch the Middle East. He said to keep your eyes on what's going on over there, because that's the tubarometer of what's going on in the world. And so either we can watch that and we can, as a people, be intelligent enough to prepare, or we can stick our head in the sand and just want our life to go on as it always has. And boy, who doesn't want life to go on as it always has? Who doesn't want to continue to experience peace and prosperity? I think we all do. But I think it would be wrong if we didn't take notice of the things that are going on. Even in biblical days, the Bible is full of stories of people who didn't take heed to God's warnings. He told them what was going to happen. Judah, for instance, God warned Judah what was coming, but they refused to listen to him. They refused to trust him and to follow his instructions. And so when captivity was looming on the horizon, what they did is they started prophesying good things about themselves, but they did it out of their own heads, thinking that if we just prophesy in the name of the Lord about how great everything's going to be, everything will be fine. But we all know that's not exactly what happened. And so, you know, I think there's times where we have to stop and really take account of what's going on, and we have to be prepared. We have to ask, am I prepared to face the things that might be coming in this world? And, you know, when the Antichrist comes, when the Antichrist comes to the surface, when he is known, it's going to affect all of us. It's not maybe going to affect us to the same degree as it would the people in the Middle East, but it will have an impact worldwide. And you know, so many people believe that we're living in the days that's very possible for that to happen. So we have to be ready, and we need to have our families prepared. And I believe that's why this passage, Ephesians chapter 6, is so important, because he's talking about how we'll be able to stand in an evil day. He tells us exactly what it's going to take. You know, going and finding property in a remote area, living in a cave, things like that, that's not the answer. Because God's going to need to use his people in these last days if we truly are living in these last days. But the whole armor of God, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So first of all, he tells us one reason to put on the whole armor is so that you can just stand against the daily deceptions, the temptations, the way that the enemy operates against us. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Now here's another time he's saying it again. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So, as I said earlier, I think we're at the cusp of that time, and those evil days may be upon us. We just look at the world. You look on every front, morally. Look at the things going on in our country today, that those of us who were raised like in the 50s had the privilege of living in those kind of sunshine golden decade. We would never have dreamed that the things that are going on in our country are going on. There, it's morally, socially, economically, you know, our country is right at the place where how much longer can we continue to rack up the debt that we've been racking up? It's just one thing politically. You know, you see our government being tempted to make alliances with evil governments just to accomplish a certain end, and it's just one thing after another that it seems like we're looking at it. To me, that sounds like an evil day. And so he tells us that there's only one way that we're going to stand in an evil day, and that's to take the whole armor of God to ourselves. So we can't be nominal, kind of casual believers in these days. We've got to decide what we believe and how serious are we about what we believe. Because he says that's, if you've done all you know to do, then you'll stand in that evil day. And again, we're not talking about stockpiling things. We're not talking about being preppers. I don't think there's anything wrong with having extra food in your house. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with you bearing arms and being, you know, to protect your family. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You should have extra food in your house anyway, because what happens? Like last summer, we had that horrible storm. We were without power your community might get hit by a storm. Well, have some extra food in your house. But we're not talking about stockpiling. We're not talking about necessarily stockpiling things. And that's not what we're talking about when you talk about having done all to stand. He's telling us here that the having done all has to do with the whole armor of God. And so what is the evil day? Well, the Bible definition of evil day is that it's hurtful, calamitous, derelict, vicious, grievous, harmful, evil, and active opposition to good. Boy, does that describe what's going on in this country right now, where things that we would never have thought would happen. People are calling things that are good evil, and they're calling things that are evil good. And if you have a certain moral stand, you're perceived as some kind of intolerant, wicked, evil person. It just is so backwards. And so, again, that's one way of looking at what an evil day might be. But it's abounding on numerous fronts. We're not just talking about just what's going on politically. We're look at the whole picture. It's not a good picture. And even though we have the truth and we know the truth, it seems like darkness is prevailing in some places. Now, it doesn't mean it has to prevail in our lives. And that's what we have to decide. When we see things going on, does it have to prevail in my life? No. And the Bible tells us it doesn't have to prevail in our lives if we've done all to stand. And so all these things are unfolding, and we've got to know that we're doing what we can do to stand in this evil day. And so we've seen it throughout history. We've seen it, and I think about even the Nazis. What happened with the Jewish people during World War II? Hitler was standing up and spewing out all this racism and hatred towards the Jewish people. And you know, for the period of time that he did there prior to when he really began to put his plan in order, only a few hundred thousand of them escaped Germany. It was very few people that actually escaped what happened. They didn't take heed to the warning. And again, you can read your Old Testament and see that it's recorded time and time again when people did not listen to warnings, they did not take heed to warnings because they were in that normalcy bias. They wanted things to just go on as they were. They didn't want anybody telling them, giving them bad news or telling them that things were coming. They just wanted it to go on as it always had. Because of that, those people, only a few hundred thousand Jews were saved during that time by escaping to other countries. And so, you know, when God stirs us up in these ways, in these areas, we need to listen, and we need to understand we can trust God through these times. And if we have a confident expectation of the return of Jesus, that is the thing that carries us through those things better than anything does, is having an expectation for his return, because there's a hope in that. There's a grace that accompanies that. And you can, you know, when you know something good is on the horizon, you can endure pretty much anything. You know, that's true for in many areas of life. But we have been so blessed here in our country. We have been so blessed. We know so little of the sacrifices that a war can exact on people. Yes, we've sent our sons, our brothers, our fathers have gone into war battle and we've lost them, but we've never, you know, in our years here, we have never experienced that on our soil. And I just believe we need to be prepared. We need to have our hearts so established in the things of God for whatever comes, you know, whatever might be on the horizon for the world. We're talking about the world. We're not just talking about this nation, but we're talking about the world. I love Ephesians 6, verse 13 in the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place." So that's what we have to ask. Have I done everything that I know to do? And so he goes through here. He goes through this passage, and he begins to define certain pieces of this armor. Now, he defines the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having on the helmet of salvation. There wasn't just a helmet. What soldier in that day would have just gone out into the battlefield with a helmet? How long would he have survived? Yet a lot of Christians just have on his helmet. They have a good mental understanding of the things of God. They might be able to tell you things about what, but they don't have an operational, functional reality of the word in their lives. They're like that soldier out there with just a helmet on his head. We have to go beyond just having a helmet. We have to be completely dressed with the armor of God, have a functional system of beliefs that's operating in our lives. It doesn't do us any good to believe in grace if we don't have a functional, operational belief in righteousness, because grace only works through righteousness. So if we don't understand who we are in our relationship to God and the blessing of being having right standing with God, grace isn't going to be functional in life. It's going to take grace to live these last days. So we need to know who we are. But it says, having done all the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place. So, you know, of course, we don't want to overreact, because the opposite of this normalcy bias would be overreacting and getting fearful. Well, God is never behind that. God is never, you know, he never intends to use fear to motivate people. You know, this has a negative side to it, but boy, we can be prepared. And, you know, being prepared for an evil day is not going to cause an evil day to come any more than not being prepared for it to come will keep it from coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes people think, well, if I act like I believe that, it's going to happen. No, God warns us sometimes about things. So we've got to be prepared. And we have to know that we've done everything we can do, everything God has told us to do. And that's all that we need to do, is do what God's telling us to do. Just do what he's telling us to do. Don't, you know, don't get in fear and don't listen to what the news is saying about what you need to be doing. Listen to God, follow it. We need to know. We know God's voice in these days. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we know his voice and that we're prepared to follow his voice, that we're led by his spirit, things like that. So we need to know that we have everything we need to be prepared. God's already provided us with everything we could possibly need to be prepared. And we're the generation that is privileged enough that God said about us that he would crush Satan under our feet. So even though things can look like they're terrible, God says he'll crush Satan under our feet. Well, I'm looking for that. Amen? So, you know, as with any other part of the word, we've got to take this part of the word too. Anything that might warn us or try to prepare us for things, we've got to take all of God's word, even something like this that's very specific as far as an instruction go, as direction and provision from a loving Heavenly Father. I mean, he loves us. He loves his people. He cares about us. And he's given us the tools, the things we need to survive in no matter what goes on in our day and age. So what should we do when we observe an evil day? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, just one book back, or one chapter back, tells us through verses 15 through 17 what to do during an evil day. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Listen to some of these other translations. The Message says, "So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants." The Amplified says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish." In other words, don't slip into the normalcy bias. "But understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is." So that question, it is a personal question for each one of us, is have I done all to stand? Have I done all that this passage of Scripture tells me I need to do in order to stand? And it tells us here just to put on the whole armor of God. That's what you have to do. It's so simple. I mean, God doesn't give us this great, big, huge manual of things that we have to do to be able to stand. He says put on the whole armor of God. So it is talking about a system of beliefs that needs to be functional in our lives, not just a mental understanding of the armor of God, but a functional, operational understanding to where this is part of our lives. It's part of our daily lives. So but only after putting on the whole armor of God will we stand. We have to put this armor on. We have to take this armor and put it on. Then if we've done all, we'll stand. And of course, we know it isn't just talking again about natural things, because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural weapons, but they're mighty through God. The helmet of salvation, it's mighty through God. The breastplate of righteousness is mighty through God. Having the belt of truth, that's mighty through God. You know, truth is not relative. They're trying to make it sound like that today. You know, just about every day I read another article from these different news things that get sent to us by people who are talking about leaders of particular denominations who are slipping over and saying, well, I don't see anything in the word that is against a certain type of marriage. We don't see anything wrong with that. The scriptures don't really address these things. And so we're seeing people trying to make truth relevant. They're trying to make it relevant. They're trying to make it fit the day and the culture. Truth is truth. Truth is absolute. Truth is not relative or relevant to the days that you're living in. It doesn't kind of morph and evolve with society and with culture. That's what people are trying to say it does. It's like they're trying to say about the Constitution that it's a living document. People are trying to say the scriptures are like that, you know, that of course God would understand these things, you know. Well, poor God must be very confused. But our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God. So the belt of truth is mighty through God. The sword of the Spirit is mighty through God. Having your feet shod with the gospel of peace is mighty through God. We better have peace in these days. You know, even when things look horrible, they're going on around us, look terrible, and it looks like the world around us is blowing up, we can still have peace. Why? Because peace is based on a relationship with God. It's peace with God. We may not have peace with every man on the earth, but we can have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, there's something about that. In Romans, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Even though there might be somebody threatening to take your head off, you can still have the peace of God. Why? Because you have this confident expectation of what's next. But if we love, you know, in Revelations it says, they loved not their lives unto the death. If we love our lives too much, this will be a hard thing for us to understand. So our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty weapons, and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So twice in this passage we're told to do something with the armor. We're told to put it on, and we're told to take it. We're told to put it on so that we can stand, and that word stand just means to hold your ground. You know, when you're tempted to agree with what the world is saying about the economy, what's going on in morally, socially in this nation, and you're tempted to begin to, oh, it's not so bad, it's not so awful, you need to be able to stand. Well, that taking the whole armor of God, that belt of truth will just begin to operate if it's functional in our lives, and somebody comes along with a convincing argument, that belt of truth will be in place, and there's no way you're going to budge. You're not going to budge off of that. So it'll enable us to stand. It'll keep us from running. Again, normalcy bias would cause you to run, to deny, to hide. Oh, no, this couldn't happen. It never happened like that before. It could never happen. So we're not prepared when we refuse to accept that something like that could happen. Again, who would ever have thought that the things that are going on in this country today are going on? And then in verse 13, he says that if you take unto you the whole armor of God, you'll be able to withstand. And that's talking about resisting. So we have to be able to hold our ground, and we have to be able to resist the things that may come during an evil day. So every single piece of this armor represents some kind of belief. The whole together is a system of beliefs, what we would call, you know, just being a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. It's a system of beliefs, but that's what will enable us to stand against the lies of the enemy and to withstand when evil days come. You know, what would we do tomorrow if there was a overnight collapse of our economic system? What would we do? I mean, that a lot of people don't say that. Like, that's going to keep it from happening, you know. That's a normalcy bias. Oh, it's, no, don't even say that because that'll keep it from, no, it won't keep it from happening. Have we done all to stand? Have we developed a trust in God with our finances to the point that we trust him like Elijah trusted God and he fed him roadkill. You know, are we in a place where we could believe God to that degree? See, this is what I'm talking about. Are we in this place where we could believe God, where we would trust God? Ephesians 6, 14 through 17, in this is the message. It says, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. So in other words, we have to have these things functioning in our lives, not just a helmet, you know, a helmet where we know what the word says. I'm talking about a function, a functional, operational reality of these things in our lives. It says, learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. What does indispensable mean? You can't live without it, right? If something's indispensable, you cannot live without it. God's word is an indispensable weapon. We can't live without it. We can't live without these beliefs being established in our lives. We can't live without knowing that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. If we don't know that we have absolute peace with God, that there's nothing that can shatter that peace, nothing from without can take that peace from us. If we don't know that, we're going to have a tough time standing during an evil day. These are things that we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about these things. I'm not talking about meditating and getting into fear and overreacting, things like that. I'm talking about it's got to be an issue of faith. It's got to be an issue of trusting God. When there's trust in God, there's rest. There's a rest that accompanies trust. And so, you know, over the next few weeks, I think what I'm feeling, at least right now, led to do is that we would just start looking at these pieces of the armor and how can these things be functional in our lives. Again, going beyond just a mental assent, going beyond just having a head knowledge of what righteousness is, to actually having a functional operation of righteousness in our lives. Because grace, which is what we're all going to need to stand and to live by, grace only operates when you have a functional revelation and operation of righteousness in your life. Because grace reigns through righteousness. So if we want grace reigning in our life, then we need to be functioning in a high degree of understanding of the righteousness of God. So we'll take these and begin to look at some of these different concepts. At least that's what I'm believing today that we're going to be doing. And so that we can say, we know what we believe. I know what I believed. I know whom I have believed, so that we're not taken off guard. And that no matter what comes, no matter what, that would happen even if we were living in peaceful days, that would be true. You could go to your doctor and get a report that could be a very negative type of thing. If you're established, if you've done all to stand, that isn't going to rock you. It's not going to throw you. And that should be something every believer is striving for. So we're going to kind of go in that direction over the next few weeks. And I didn't mean to make this sound like a negative message today, but it's more than anything. It's like, let's get ready. Let's be prepared for whatever might come, because we're living in evil days. Amen? All right.